Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Look and See audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
Welcome back to the Swag Cast. This is Bill Holwick, and tonight we finish up our foray into fantasy with some General Mills, The Black Arrow, from the War of the Roses era of historical research and a dramatic tale. Hope you enjoy, as well as our final installment of that Cimmerian we've all come to know and groove to. So hope you enjoy the fantasy online tonight at The Swag Cast.
I'm Tom Bosley, bringing you the world of your imagination. A world as vast as the universe, which happens through the magic of radio. All you need do is listen. And we'll take you back to the beginning of time, or forward to tomorrow still undreamed of. To places familiar, and places no man has ever visited. Come with me to the 15th century during the War of the Roses, one of the most turbulent times in England's history, when the houses of York and Lancaster were locked in a deadly struggle for power.
I will show you the way, my lord, and I have more men waiting outside the town who will join us.
What men?
Some 20 archers who call themselves the Fellowship of the Black Arrow.
You keep strange company, Dick Shelton. But if their arrows fly true and for our side, they shall no longer be outside the law. Come, mount again, and let us ride.
Our story, The Black Arrow, was adapted from the novel by Robert Louis Stevenson, especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by Robert Newman. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Welcome.
It's afternoon on a midsummer day, and 2 horsemen are riding from the Moat House at Tunstall across the fields. One of them is a hard-bitten, middle-aged man with a steel cap on his head and a sword at his side. He is Bennett Hatch, bailiff of Tunstall. The other is young, wearing a deerskin jerkin and with a crossbow slung across his back. He is Richard Shelton, ward of Sir Daniel Brackley, Lord of Tunstall.
I like it not that I must stay when so many others are going.
Sir Daniel wants it so.
But why? I am as good a man with a sword as any.
As good or better, but still you will stay.
And you will go.
Aye, and in time, you will go too. Well, here's Nick's house. But where is he?
There, in the field.
Aye, so he is. One of the best archers in the shire, tending cabbages. Well, we'll change all that. Appleyard! Nick Appleyard!
Well, Master Hatch and Master Dick, what do you do here?
We're here to fetch you. Sir Daniel orders you to come to the castle and take command there.
I take command? Where do you go, Master Hatch?
To Kettley. There's to be a battle, and Sir Daniel will join it as soon as I bring you more men.
Rather battle, eh? And whose side will he be fighting on this time?
Watch your tongue, Appleyard.
Well, what have I said amiss? All the world knows that one day he fights for York and the next for Lancaster. And each time he changes sides, he ends up with more gold in his purse.
I told you to watch your tongue. Are you coming, Nick?
My arms are in the house. Let me get to it, I'll come.
Well, hurry.
We mustn't keep Sir Daniel waiting.
An arrow! Nick!
Are you hurt, man? Hurt? I'm sped. Whence came the arrow?
From the wood there.
A long bow shot. It was a good archer who loosed it. Pull it out.
Oh, no, Nick. If we do...
I say pull it out. Let me see it. A black arrow. And there's writing on it. What does it say, Master Dick?
Appleyard from John Amendall.
John Amendall. I know him not. But you'll be next, Bennett. Mark my word.
Nick!
No use. He's dead. Quick, on your horse and let's away.
But we can't leave him here like this.
Better that than stay and take another arrow in our backs.
Nick Appleyard.
Dead, Sir Oliver.
What? How?
Of an arrow in the back. A black arrow.
Saints defend us. You saw the arrow?
Saw it and read the message on it. Appleyard from John Amendall, it said.
John Amendall? Who can he be? Appleyard had enemies, but...
What say you to Ellis Duckworth?
Duckworth? No. No one has seen or heard from him in many years.
Who is this Ellis Duckworth?
A yeoman who fell afoul of Sir Daniel some years back. When Sir Daniel went to take his land, he fought us, so we burned his house, and Sir Daniel had him declared an outlaw.
Duckworth? It might be. But if it is he...
Evan, save us. What's that?
Another arrow. There, in the chapel door.
Is it black, too?
Aye. And there's a message wrapped around it.
Read it, Dick. What does it say?
I had four black arrows under my belt. Four for the griefs that I have felt. One is gone, it was well sped. Old Appleyard is dead. One is for Master Bennett Hatch, who burned Grimstone, wall, and thatch. One is for Sir Oliver Oates, who helped cut Sir Harry Shelton's throat. Sir Daniel, you shall have the last to pay for what you brought to pass.
Grimstone. That was Ellis Duckworth's home. And it is he. Why look you that way, Dick?
It says, Sir Oliver, you helped cut my father's throat.
Oh, you believe the scribbling of a murderous outlaw? I swear to you I had naught to do with it.
This is not a time for accusations. With Nick Appleyard's death, we must change our plans. I cannot leave the castle now. Master Dick... You must take the men we've gathered to Sir Daniel.
I?
You wanted fighting. Well, you shall have it.
I must write a note to Sir Daniel. You shall take him that and a message on the black arrow.
Be quick, Sir Oliver.
I will.
Now listen, Master Dick. I would give you counsel. Sir Daniel may be your guardian, but keep a sharp eye on him. And put not your trust in Sir Oliver either.
But why? Did he not just swear?
I have heard him swear before. Ask no more questions, but do as I say.
Is that you, Dick?
Aye, Sir Daniel.
What do you here? Where's Bennett Hatch?
At the castle. He bade me bring you the men you called for, and Sir Oliver gave me a note which will explain all.
Give it to me.
I gave him the note and the message that came with the black arrow. As he read them, I looked around. Lying in the corner was a lad I did not know. He seemed a year or so younger than I was, smaller and slighter, and with a very white face. He was well enough dressed, no farmer, and he stared at me with frightened eyes.
Read you this poem, Dick?
I did.
And what think you of it?
I know not. Sir Oliver swore it was a lie.
It is. A most foul lie.
Where did my father die?
Not in the castle. In the wood, some distance off.
How did he die?
He was stabbed. Why do you ask?
because in all these years you have told me nothing of the manner of my father's death.
Nor is this the time to rehearse the whole matter. He was my friend. That was why I took you in and raised you as my own son.
And also took my family's land.
To keep for you till you shall be of age. Do you doubt that they shall be returned to you?
No, Sir Daniel.
Good. Now you shall go back to the castle with a note to Sir Oliver from me.
Yes, Sir Daniel.
Make no sign. What? I beseech you. But out of charity, tell me the straight way to Aniston Abbey.
But why should I do that?
Because I am in great danger.
Take the path by the windmill. It will bring you to the ferry. Then ask again.
Oh, thank you. And bless you.
It was the boy I'd noticed before. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw him sneak out of the inn. I wondered who he was and what peril he was in. Then the door opened, and there was Sir Daniel again.
Here is the note. Give it only to Sir Oliver.
I will.
I'll see you on your way. Wait. What's happened to the boy?
Boy, sir?
He was there in the corner. Innkeeper! Innkeeper, where is the boy that was with me?
I mounted quickly and rode off. I had not known the boy was supposed to stay with Sir Daniel and had no wish to tell him that I had helped the lad to escape. I rode east through the marshes, keeping a sharp lookout for the boy, but I caught no sight of him until I reached the ferry.
Why have you come after me? Are you going to take me back?
I did not come after you. I go to Tunstall, and this is my road, too. But who are you?
My name is John Matcham. And you?
Dick Shelton. I have lived with Sir Daniel since my father's death. But what is this danger in which you find yourself?
I fear to tell you.
Why?
Because it is from Sir Daniel that I flee.
So much I guessed, but why? How has he harmed you?
How has he not? I am an orphan, too, and he took me by force from my own place and kept me with him.
Then why are you still here? Why did you not cross the river?
Because the ferry is on the other side, and there is no sign of the ferryman.
Well, if there is no ferry, then we must swim.
Oh, the river is wide and swift. But if we must, so be it.
We put our horses into the river and swam them over. But as we dismounted to climb the bank on the far side, disaster struck. My horse, frightened by the swim, pulled free and galloped off, and John's followed.
Oh, what shall we do now?
We still have our legs.
Oh, go through the woods on foot? What if we meet wolves or outlaws?
I fear not wolves. I have my crossbow. Oh. As for outlaws, we must be wary.
Oh, you are brave, Dick. Braver than I am. I do not know why you are helping me, but I'll never forget it.
We set off through the forest, John walking beside me, and my heart warmed to him. Night found us still far from the castle or the abbey, and we slept in the wood. In the morning we went on again, but we had not gone far when...
Oh, do you hear that?
It may be a woodcutter. Hold my crossbow while I go see. Peering through the underbrush, I saw 20 sturdy men, clad in green, sitting around a fire in a clearing.
Who are they?
If I mistake not, outlaws, the Fellowship of the Black Arrow. And if they are, that tall one with the beard is Ellis Duckworth, who calls himself John Amendall.
What shall we do?
Go back and away as quickly as we can. Wait, someone's coming.
What news, Roger?
Party of men-at-arms have crossed the river and are coming up the road.
Sir Daniel's men?
They wear his colors.
Now I shall have my revenge for myself and for my friend Sir Harry Shelton. To your places.
Revenge for Sir Harry Shelton? Was he not your father?
Yes, my father. Give me back my crossbow and let us go quickly.
Where?
Why, to warn Sir Daniel. They mean to ambush him.
Oh, no. Do not move. I am not skilled with a crossbow, but at this distance, I could not miss you.
Will you shoot me?
If I must, to keep you here. Sir Daniel is my enemy, and I suspect yours too.
He swore he did not kill my father.
And lied. I'm sure he lied.
You're sure? What know you of such things? Give me my crossbow.
No.
Then I'll take it. So. And if I had the time, I'd beat you soundly. I gave you hell. And this...
No!
I'm too late. They have attacked. I must return.
Return where?
The castle. The next attack will come there. Where do you follow me? The abbey lies that way.
I am afraid to go alone. May I come with you?
If you will.
Oh, I meant well, Dick. I hated Sir Daniel, but I also feared for you.
We ran through the forest toward the moat house. It was a long way, and when we got there, the drawbridge was up. I called and waved, and it came rattling. Was Sir Daniel. Sir Daniel! I thought you were dead.
Why should I be dead?
Ellis Duckworth and his men were waiting in ambush on the road.
I thought as much. That's why I sent my men that way and went another in disguise.
You let them be killed? Your own men?
Who were they for the most part? Farmers. I'm here and safe. Naught else matters. Raise the drawbridge, man the walls, and prepare for an attack.
So, young John, who fled from Sir Daniel, is in his power again. And Dick is back in the moat house. But is he safe? For Sir Daniel must know that Dick is now suspicious about his father's death. And Sir Daniel is completely ruthless when he feels threatened, as we know already. And we'll see again when we return shortly with Act Two. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. Let us return now to that dark time when England was torn by the struggle for power between the houses of York and Lancaster, the time of the War of the Roses. It is the next morning. Coming down into the courtyard, Dick finds Sir Daniel looking even more grim than he did the night before.
So, you're up, Dick.
Are things as bad as they seem?
They could not be worse. We are besieged.
I will take my place when I have said a few words to young John.
Young John? Who is young John?
What? John Machem, the lad I brought here with me yesterday.
There is no such person here.
What? But he came here with me. You called him my young friend. A slight and somewhat frightened boy.
I say he is not here.
But he could not have escaped. Duckworth's men surround
us. We're hard pressed. Bennett Hatch lies in the chapel sorely wounded, and you must prattle of someone you will never see again. Sir Oliver, where are you?
Here. In the gatehouse.
I must speak with you.
I stared after him. Here was another mystery. What had happened to the boy, John? There was someone who might be able to tell me. I slipped into the chapel, and there was Bennett Hatch lying on a pallet.
Master Dick, I'm dying.
Say not so, Bennett. You have been wounded before and lived to jest about it.
I will not jest this time.
What do you know of my father's death?
I know nothing.
Well, that cannot be. You have been sheriff to Sir Daniel for many years.
He was found in the forest with a stab wound in his chest.
But who could have killed him? Who and why?
I tell you, I know not. And even if I did...
What is it you do not know, Bennett?
I was asking about my father's death.
Your father again. Must you plague a dying man? And do you still suspect me of having had some hand in it, when I've already sworn that I had naught to do with it?
I ask your pardon.
I forgive you. To make amends for my harsh words, you shall have a new room.
There's nothing wrong with my old one.
It served you when you were a boy. Now you shall have one that is more fitting. The large one over the chapel.
When night came, I went to the room over the chapel as Sir Daniel had insisted. There was the rub. Why had he insisted on it? I bolted the door, stretched out on the floor behind it, and waited. Close on midnight, I heard the sound I had been waiting for. Soft footsteps outside. I drew my sword.
Dick. Dick. Are you in there?
John?
Yes. Let me in.
It is you. What do you hear?
I came to warn you. Quick, close and bolt the door again.
As quickly as I can. You've been here all this time? Where?
Locked in the topmost tower room. I hid the knife when they gave me supper, and since then I have pried at the lock and only just opened it.
John, I have been deeply afraid for you, For when I spoke of you to Sir Daniel, he denied there was a John Machum.
For once, he may not have lied.
What? But you are here, standing next to me. This is your arm, not a strong one, it is true, but... If you are the bravest soul in England, I am the dullest and most blind. You are no lad.
I wondered how long it would take you to discover that.
I saw your clothes, your boy's clothes, and your short hair. Who are you?
Lady Joanna Sedley. I am an orphan, as I said, and I fear an heiress. I was passing through Kettley on my way to York when Sir Daniel captured me and kept me with him.
But why?
The Sedley holdings are large, and I believe he either means to marry me himself or marry me off to someone else.
Never.
Why should it matter to you?
I know little of women, but you are such a maid as I never thought could be. I know not if I will live through this night, but if I do, I swear I will love none but you till the day I die.
Shh. Do you hear that? Someone is coming.
I hear. But the steps are not outside in the corridor. They are there, behind the paneling.
How can that be?
A secret passage into this room. That is why Sir Daniel put me here, and that is how my father died.
Here?
It must be so. Sir Daniel had him sleep here, killed him here, and took him out through the passage, leaving his body in the wood.
And that is Sir Daniel coming now?
Sir Daniel or Sir Oliver, who is his accomplice, whichever of them it may be, will not find me sleeping as my father was. Stand back and give me room.
Joanna! Joanna, where are you?
That is Sir Daniel now. He has been to the tower room and discovered I am gone.
Joanna! Dick, open the door!
What shall we do?
Shh, nothing. Answer not.
Dick, I know that Joanna's in there with you. Open the door! Break it down, men!
We are undone. Someone in the secret passage, and now Sir Daniel and his men at the door.
Whoever was in the passage must be gone. He knows he can no longer surprise me.
How can that help us?
We shall go out the passage. I saw a light through a crack near the bed. There must be a secret opening there. Yes, here is the crack, and...
Oh, you are right. But what of whoever was in the passage?
Gone. If not, he is only one man, and I fear him not. Come quickly. I led the way through the door, down a few steps, and then along a winding passage, feeling my way. Behind us, we heard the door of the room crash open, Sir Daniel shouting, then following footsteps. I came to another door, found the latch, and opened it.
Where are we?
In a room over the moat.
Then all was in vain. We are still lost.
Can you not swim?
No, no.
I will help you. We will leap from the window into the moat.
I cannot. It is too high, and the water is deep.
You are caught. Hurt not the girl, men. She is a rare prize. But as for Master Dick...
You shall not take him!
Guard yourself! She has a knife! Why, you wild cat!
Dick! Dick, no! Quickly! I cannot hold them long!
No!
Drop you them. Must! You must! I pledged you my troth! And if you die...
I go, then! But you and vengeance shall be mine! I climbed out of the moat and crawled into the woods. I knew there were outlaws all around me, but night was no time to approach them. So I waited till dawn, made myself known, and was taken to the tall man with the beard, whom I had seen in the forest.
Was it you who leapt into the moat last night?
It was.
Ah, that was bravely done. Who are you?
Dick Shelton.
Ah, do you know who I am?
I do. Ellis Duckworth, also known as John Amend All.
You hit the center of the mark. Dear lad, it lifts my heart to see you, for I loved your father. He was my friend, and I will be your friend as well.
I thank you, Ellis, for I have need of friends now. Last night he tried to kill me as he did my father, sending someone through a secret passage to the chamber where I slept.
Ah, so that was the way of it. I knew he was behind it, though I didn't know the manner of the deed. Well, we shall both have our revenge.
And I hope quickly... Will you assault the castle?
Nay, lad, I haven't the strength. But I can keep him besieged. Why does your face fall?
Because there is one in the castle who is very dear to me.
The boy who came there with you 2 days gone?
Aye, except it was not a boy. It was the lady, Joanna Sedley.
Ellis.
Aye, Roger. What news?
Ill news. A large company approaches up the road from Kettley.
Know you who they are?
Their colors are crimson and blue, and they carry a boar's head on their pennons.
Aha! That's Lord Risingham, a strong Lancastrian. Well, we've lost our chance.
He will lift your siege around the castle.
I cannot keep him from doing so. And then, if I mistake not, Sir Daniel and his men will go to Shoreby with him. For that is the chief Lancastrian stronghold.
Then I have lost Joanna.
Why do you say that?
Because he will take her with him.
Be not downhearted. We shall go there too.
How can we do that?
We shall go in disguise, I and all my men.
The next few days were hard ones for me. Though I went about the town in disguise, I thought it best to keep away from Sir Daniel and let others keep watch on him for me. Thus, I could not even catch a glimpse of Joanna. Finally, our plans were ready. Sir Daniel had taken a house near the sea. It was well guarded, but each night he left it to consult with Risingham and other Lancastrian leaders. We would climb the walls, overpower the guards, and escape with Joanna.
This is the likeliest place. Who's to climb the wall?
I will. Once over it, I'll open that gate and let you all in.
Right. Let me give you a hand up.
Yeah.
Alice, we are not alone here. There are a score of men on the far side of the house.
Sir Daniel's men?
I think not. They wear checkered badges.
But I know it not. Well, Dick, I fear we must call off this attempt and go back. Too late, we're discovered. So if we must fight, let's give a good account of ourselves.
I drew my sword, and a moment later found myself engaged with a man who seemed to be their leader. He came at me with sword and dagger, and for several moments, I was hard put to defend myself. He pressed me hard, for he was a fine swordsman. Finally, determined to end it, I slipped in under his guard and tripped him.
What madman's trick was that?
My dagger is at your throat. If you yield, I will give you your life.
I yield. I know not who you are. I would rather yield to you than to that traitor, Sir Daniel.
Sir Daniel? Then you are not for him.
Oh, there are few men I have more against.
Then this has been a sad and mistaken encounter, for he is my sworn enemy.
If that is so, call off your men, and I will call off mine, and let us away quickly. Now, my young friend, tell me who you are.
Dick Shelton.
Son of Sir Harry?
Yes.
And your skill and courage does not surprise me.
And you, sir?
Lord Hawkhurst, one of the captains of the House of York. But you have not told me what you were about.
I hoped to rescue the Lady Joanna Sedley, whom Sir Daniel is holding captive. We've been watching this house, planning the attack for several days now.
You know the castle, then?
I know it well.
Then what seemed to be an unfortunate encounter may turn out to be a great stroke of good fortune. You are for York, I take it.
Heart and soul.
Will you undertake a mission, then, for me and York?
Gladly.
There was one I was to meet at dawn tomorrow at St. Bride's Cross. Will you take my horse and go there for me?
I will, and gladly.
So for the second time, Dick has failed to rescue the woman he loves. But who is this mysterious man he's to meet at St. Bride's Cross? Will he indeed prove to be a friend? Or will the meeting lead to even greater dangers? We'll find out shortly when we return with Act 3.
Listen!
The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. And now back to England in the days of the War of the Roses. It's just before dawn, and Dick approaching St. Bride's Cross hears a strange sound, the clear call of a hunting horn. He pauses, and then, hearing the clash of steel, he rides on. There at the foot of the wayside cross, a single man in full armor is fighting half a dozen men-at-arms who wear the Lancastrian colors.
Hold you well, sir. Help is at hand.
Keep the varlets in play while I sound another call.
I'll try. But if you have men, they had better come soon.
They will. As always, I have been too eager and outrun them. Here they come. And there go our enemies. So will all of Lancaster flee one day.
May the day come soon.
Well said. Now, dismount. Tell me who you are that came to my aid in such good time.
My name is Dick Shelton.
I know the name, Shelton. You are a brave young man and a good swordsman, though somewhat foolhardy.
That has been said of me before. But may I know who you are?
I am Richard, Duke of Gloucester.
The king's son?
The same.
My lord.
Nay, kneel not to me. I am not king yet. But tell me what you do here. I came to meet another. But I like it not that he has kept me waiting.
If you mean Lord Hawkhurst, my lord, he sent me in his stead.
I thought I knew your horse.
I can tell you what you wish to know. I have been in Shoreby for several days now.
Have you? You came in a fortunate hour. Tell me then.
There are about 1,800 men in the town.
1,800? I have 700 there in the woods behind us. 700 more will be here shortly. And tomorrow will come another 500. Now, if you were Richard of Gloucester, what would you do? Strike now or wait until tomorrow?
Strike now, my lord.
Why so?
Well, so far they know not of your presence here. By tomorrow they may have some report of it. I think the surprise is worth 500 men.
And you are worth almost that many. We shall do it. You will show us the best way into the town.
I will, my lord. And there are a few waiting a short way outside who will join us.
Who?
Some 20 archers who call themselves the Fellowship of the Black Arrow.
Now let me study this. If a small body of men struck there near the harbor, that would draw their forces. Then I and my main body could sweep in from the west and take them from the rear.
If you will give us 100 men, my lord, Ellis, I, and our archers will strike that first blow.
You think you can not only strike, but hold there until we cut our way in to relieve you?
I do, my lord.
Then we shall try it. And if you succeed, you shall not only win your spurs, but my undying favor. Go then, young Dick and Ellis, and good fortune go with you.
We ran up the street the Duke had indicated. We were well into the town before those there knew what was afoot. Then they came at us, and for a time the fighting was hard and grim. Ellis fought beside me, and our men shot arrow after arrow from the windows of the houses on either side of us.
How goes it with you, Dick?
Well enough, though I do not think we will be able to hold them if they charge again.
Nor do I. But we fought a good fight so far, and listen! That's the Duke! He comes charging in! And look! They break and run! It's over! Shoreby is ours! Where go you now?
To Sir Daniel's house to find Joanna. When Ellis and I got to the house, we found it empty. Sir Daniel had fled, taking Joanna with him. Sick at heart, I walked back to where we had made our stand.
Young Dick, I have been looking for you. You have fought like a hero, done what you said you would, and pleased me greatly. Kneel. I dub thee knight. Rise, Sir Richard.
I thank you, my lord.
Yes, you thank me, but still look as black as midnight. Why?
Because the lady I told you of, Joanna Sedley, is gone.
And you think of that now, in our hour of victory?
I do. My lord, I believe I have somewhat aided you at St. Bride's Cross and here. I crave a boon.
What boon?
Give me 20 of lances to follow Joanna and the man who has taken her, my enemy, Sir Daniel Brackley. We rode out of town, found a farmer who had seen Sir Daniel and his company riding west, and followed. At dusk, deep in the woods, we found that the company had divided, some going on towards the castle, and some turning off towards the south. We decided that Sir Daniel had gone on to Turnstall and went that way. A short while later, through the trees, we saw a campfire.
It's Sir Daniel. He has your lady and perhaps a dozen men with him. What shall we do, Dick?
Leave our horses here, surround and attack him.
Aye, that would be my counsel, too.
We dismounted, crept through the woods, and then attacked.
York, Richard, and the Black Arrow!
Joanna! Joanna, here, to me!
Dick! Dick, be careful! There are others! More men!
What?
Sir Daniel set this camp to entrap you! Most of his men went off and around to take you from the rear, and here they come!
Dick, take your lady and go. We will hold them off.
No!
I say go. If you stay, you accomplish nothing and lose all. Life ends, lady.
He's right, Dick. For my sake, come!
Oh, it chokes me to do it, but so be it. This way.
We went on through the woods, and shortly after dawn, we arrived at the abbey. Though it was early, the Duke was already there, standing in the courtyard.
So, you are the young lady who was so much on his mind.
The Lady Joanna Sedley, and it pleases you, my lord?
It pleases me much. She's a pretty thing. But why are you both so bedraggled?
My lord Duke, I may have served you well at St. Bride's and Shoreby, but I fear I've failed you in this mission. Sir Daniel outwitted me, beat us soundly in the woods, and escaped.
And the men I gave you? A score of lances?
Lost, I fear, my lord. As for Sir Daniel, I believe he has made for the castle.
He will not get there. I've sent men on to take it. But I am displeased with you, Sir Richard. I like not those who fail me. You have your lady. This afternoon, you shall wed her in the abbey. But expect nothing more from me.
That afternoon, waiting until it was time for the wedding, I left the abbey and walked into the woods. I had much to make my heart heavy. Ellis, who had been my good friend, was gone. Dead, I was sure. And Sir Daniel had escaped me and my vengeance. I had gone some little way when a monk, his hood pulled forward, came up the path towards me.
Pax vobiscum, my son.
Greetings, father. Wait!
Why do you draw your sword?
Because there is something about you, the way you walk. Lift your hood.
What?
I said lift your hood. So, I thought it was you, Sir Daniel. What are you doing here?
Having lost all else, I try to save my life by seeking sanctuary at the abbey.
You shall not go there.
Dick, I have done you wrong. I grant you that. But if you do not let me pass, you doom me to a traitor's death.
Which you deserve.
Perhaps. But the disgrace of that I cannot face. I would rather die at your hand. You have a sword? Strike. And strike quickly.
That I cannot do, not in cold blood. Are you armed?
I have a dagger.
Then I will throw away my sword, thus, and fight you on even terms, dagger to dagger.
Ah, you fool! Will you never learn? Of course I had a sword here under my robe. I fight on even terms with no man when I can outwit him. Now you shall die.
And even with a dagger against your sword, I fear you not. Come, then.
I come. I shall take more pleasure in this cutting you down than...
The arrow is it black?
It is.
Then vengeance is done.
Aye, that it is. But by whose hand?
Whose should it be?
Ellis, praise be to heaven. I thought you were dead.
Not I. I fought my way clear when you escaped, hid in the woods, and followed this villainous traitor when he found the way to Tunstall blocked and came here.
And arrived in rare good time, not only to save my life, but to speed me on my way to a new one.
Your marriage?
Yes, it is to be celebrated within the hour. And there is no one I would rather have stand by me there in the chapel than my good friend, Ellis.
Well, then, why do we tarry here? On to the abbey, and let the bells ring loud and clear.
And so the last black arrow flew, and vengeance was done. But not by young Richard. He can go to his bride not only with a high heart, but with clean hands. I'll be back shortly. Our tale of the Black Arrow was a tale of days long gone, when young men, by their courage and steadfastness, could win fame, fortune, and beautiful brides. Yes, those days are long gone. Did such things happen even then? Well, who knows? But they can and do happen on Adventure Theater in the world of radio drama. A theater whose stage has no limits but your imagination.
Cast included Skip Hinnant, Ann Costello, Jackson Beck, William Griffiths, Court Benson, and Gilbert Mack.
The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.
Prince, between the time when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of recorded history, there was an age undreamed of. When shining kingdoms lay spread across the world, like blue mantles beneath the stars. From the north came a Sumerian, sword in hand. A thief, a reaver, a slayer, with gigantic melancholies and gigantic mirth, to tread the jeweled thrones of the earth under his sandaled feet. Broken Sea Audio Productions presents the full cast audio dramatization of the Queen of the Black Coast, a tale of Conan, written by Robert E. Howard, Episode 7.
Shadows were black around him. The dripping jaws gaped wide. Thicker than rain, the red drops fell. But my love was fiercer than death's black spell. Nor all the iron walls of hell could keep me from his side.
Song of Belief.
Having survived the precognitive visions of the Black Lotus in the jungle, Conan awoke to find all his squad of warriors dead at the bottom of a precipice. All were dead save Nagora, who had been transformed into a gorilla-like monstrosity by vile sorcery. The once human beast attacked Conan, and Conan slew his former comrade-at-arms. And knowing there was more to this horror, Conan raced back to the ruins of the city.
He ran up beside her and found it was
too late to save the crew of the Tigris from grisly death, or his beloved Belit, who had been hung from the yardarm of the Tigris by her bloodstone necklace. The same necklace she had found in the ruins of the lost city.
He bore her away slowly sink in the gray of the sky.
The winged demon has hung you, my love. My beliefs, like meat, awaiting the butcher's axe. You deserve more! A pyre on the tigress! A pyre fit for my queen! For Belit's last voyage! On a pyre of broken benches, spear shafts, and leopard skins, I have laid the queen of the Black Coast for her last sleep. Do you hear me, Crumb? My love is dead. Dead, wrapped in my scarlet cloak. Like a true queen you now lay. Your plunder heaped high about your skills. Cloth of gold, silver braid, cask of gems and golden coins, silver ingots, jeweled daggers and tear carats of gold wedges. But not the plunder of this accursed city! Never! That accursed booty now fills the dark waters of the Zarkiba with its taint by my hands! Along with that damned bloodstone necklace! And I stand now alone, holding my dead love, my Belit! If I am to fight this demon, I will choose my battlefield. There! Atop that crumbling pyramid. Crumb willing, I will avenge you, Belit. And if Crumb sees not to bolster my battle, the hell with him! Atop this spire and await the winged demon. With sharpened blade, he'll not find Conan waiting for death or sneak up upon me with his treacherous sorcery. By Crumb, he'll face a Sumerian sword in hand. Been spared the slaughter of my Belit and her crew? I know not. Here now his beasts crawl out of the jungle gloom. Damnable hyenas skulking out to do their master's dark bidding, I'll wager. You are an intelligent demon, no doubt. Intelligent or no, if I have my way, a dead winged beast! Belit's bow in hand, my blade by my side. Night falls and your choicest victim awaits, demon! Wind beast, meet me in hell! Twenty curs come, eyes blazing like the bloodstones, ensorcelled no doubt by the winged demon. Coward! 20 curse it be then, and 20 will rot in hell! Die, curse! One beast dead! Die! Die! Curse! Feel my hate! Hot as the slack heaps of hell, curse! Die! 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 Die!
minds, curse! And yet you still come! By what godless alchemy you curs have been brought into existence, I know not! You close in, dogs! One shaft left! One more to die! Do not have my throat cut! Curse! Curse! Rot in hell! Victorious. Crumb. The flying master. Comes my sword. Come you. On the wind demon! Is he in hell? Come! The pyramid crumbles! Must get away! Jump to that column below!
But no, this. I'll look you in the eyes. As you do, demon. I curse you. All the way to hell! Racing the world now extinct, burning hell beast. I stand alone, my foe slain, my love dead. Crom. The dead hyenas changed to men. Sorcery under the moon, now they crumble to dust, crumb and steel. Why had not the Wind Master come to the aid of its slaves when I had it feared to come within reach of fangs that might turn and rend it, but still died in the end. May it rot in hell. I have one task left. Crom. Last right. On board the Tigress, I now set you free, Belit. You and your ship on its last voyage to Valhalla. My love, my Belit. Crom. Thank you.
dawn tinges the ocean. While I stand alone, my love sails on.
Conan of Cimmeria leaned on his great sword upon the white beach, watching the Tigress swinging out on her last voyage. There was no light in his eyes that contemplated the glassy swells. Out of the rolling blue wastes, all glory and wonder had gone. A fierce revulsion shook him, and he gazed at the green surges that deepened into purple hazes of mystery. Belit had been of the sea. She had lent it splendor and allure. Without her rolled a barren, dreary, and desolate waste from pole to pole. She belonged to the sea. To its everlasting mystery he returned her. He could do no more. For himself, its glittering blue splendor was more repellent than the leafy fronds which rustled and whispered beneath him. Of vast, mysterious wilds beyond them, and into which he must plunge. No hand was at the sweep of the Tigress. No oars drove her through the green water, but a clean, tanging wind bellied her silken sail, and as a wild swan cleaves the sky to her nest, she sped seaward, flames mounting higher and higher from her deck, to lick at the mast and envelop the figure that lay lapped in scarlet on the shining pyre. So passed the Queen of the Black Coast, and leaning on his red-stained sword, Conan stood silently until the red glow had faded far out in the blue hazes, and the dawn splashed its rose and gold over the ocean. Here ends the saga of the Queen of the Black Coast.
Now we are done with roaming, Evelmore. No more the oars, the windy harp's refrain, nor crimson pennon frights the dusky shore. Blue girdle of the world, receive again her whom thou gavest me.
And starring in the final installment of Robert E. Howard's Queen of the Black Coast was Stevie Barnaby as Conan and the Winged Ape Demon. Charlene Harris as Belit, the Queen of the Black Coast. The narrator was Ralph W. Walter. Also check out The Zombie Astronaut.
The Song of Belit, read by Gwendolyn Jensen Woodard.
Music for tonight's episode was provided by Rob Highfield, Ken Deegan, Stevie Barnaby, and Brian of Seraphic Panoply,
and Douglas and Bela of Howlo. If you get a chance, go and check out all the wondrous music. Links are provided in the show notes.
Mixed, produced, and directed by Bill Holway. I want to thank everyone who's been a part of this production. You all rock. Thank you for listening.
This has been a Broken Sea Audio production. Stay tuned for more Conan adventures to come in the future and try some of our other audio hooliganism only at www.brokensea.com.
Audible.com.
This is one of the few dark places on Earth. Its location is a rumor whispered in the hushed corridors of the White Hall. Even today, it's simply referred to as the Village.
Did you know that Number 6 was not accounted for? I believe Number 6 is still on the island. Rather a good way to protect him and his information, I suppose. No one's been near the place for over 3 decades.
The bad news is, she hit that hurricane. Ran aground. Serious damage. Radio's out and all systems are down. She's marooned in the village.
Last night, you called me Number 6. You put me in a house addressed Number 6. You never even asked me my name.
No need for names here. Number 6.
Number 6? Indeed! Why, Number 6, you're not the man you used to be.
Civilization has branded you. You'll never be free unless you view everyone and everything as suspect.
She's a valuable resource. She has access to sensitive material.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Ross. She's as loyal as you or I.
We can't rule out defection or foul play.
I'm talking about trust.
Sometimes, Thomas, you're shockingly naive.
What is this place?
A village. Like any number of villages.
And you?
A citizen.
Like any number?
I am not a number.
I love this game. I love this game.
Power has returned to the village.
Power? Who are you?
A trusted servant of the state.
Damn it, Tommy. Texas would say y'all are all hat and no cattle. Y'all got so distracted by the surface that you couldn't see beneath. You gotta brush away all that Rocco crap and expose the truth. It was all in the files. You just had to read between the lines.
I'm afraid this place isn't big enough for both of us. Good to see you again, Number 6. What a pleasant coincidence bumping into you after... How long has it been?
I've stumbled across a private war, and I'm sick of those. I won't be part of it.
No love without freedom. No freedom without love. Simple truths worth dying for.
The Prisoner, coming soon from Broken Sea Productions.
There are those who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive. Far, far away amongst the stars.
Lord Baltar.
What is it now, Turian?
Squadron Fanlings formed. We await your command to commence the assault on Galactica.
Do it!
By your command.
And I will dance on all your graves. Lucifer, begin.
By your command, Baltar.
This is Apollo, launching now.
Copy, Apollo.
Let's bag some chrome domes. Welcome to Starbuck Land, where the qubits fly and Cylons die.
Hold the chatter. Here they come.
Boomer, roll right. You got one on your tail. Crack! Fire!
Got another! Apollo! This is you! What the frick are they doing?
What do you mean, Starbuck?
What are they doing? They're heading towards the Jupiter?
That's what's worrying me. Starbuck, follow me.
Sheba, this is Galactica. Break off your patrol and intercept two incoming Cylon raiders. Copy?
Incoming Colonial Viper will move to intercept.
Black! Galactica! The other raider's on a collision course with the Jupiter. Far off from my blaster. Galactica, do you copy?
Have a good evening, and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwick from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby.